all about living increasingly as Jesus would if he were to be in your skin. In other words, to perceive things as Jesus would perceive them as you look through your eyes, to be able to think as Jesus would think, to be able to do as Jesus would do, and eventually to be able to become as Jesus would become. Now, one of the challenges in that is that we often try to be like Christ, but trying doesn't really work out. You can't try and run a marathon. You must train to run a marathon. And we've been looking over the last couple of weeks that it's the same in being like Jesus. You cannot just try to be like Jesus. You must actually train to be like Jesus. There are certain disciplines, as athletes would exercise or have a specific diet, whatever. There are certain disciplines that we need to bring into our lives to be able to train to be more like Christ. And we've started looking at some of those spiritual disciplines. The first one we obviously looked at was transformational prayers. Not just praying, but actually praying transformational prayers. We looked at the search me prayer, stretch me prayer, ruin me prayer. I don't know if any of you guys have been praying them of late. One of the brothers said to me yesterday, the ruin me one, he said, that's a very dangerous prayer to pray. And really, it encompasses all the other prayers in a way, because if you're ruined, you will be stretched and you will be searched. But we looked at that. We looked at that we need to be able to listen to God. Where we need to put on the headset and hear what God is saying and take off the do not disturb signs so God can speak to us, and we will be open ourselves, up our hearts and our spirit to be able to hear what it is that he is saying. Last week we looked at study, that we need to be able to study the scriptures, where you cannot just, if you have the opportunity to play the violin or cello like these guys do, I think they're very talented musicians, but if you want to do that, if you have the option of either joining a community college or being trained or mentored by some of the best in the world, I think we would all want to sit at the feet of the master. And in the same way, in a spiritual sense, church is not going to change your life. It is certainly necessary. It will have an effect on your life, but it will not necessarily change your life or make you more Christ-like. What we need to do is we need to sit at the feet of the master on a daily basis and being mentored by the scriptures as we stand before Christ and we stand before God and him helping us to become who we need to become, so that as people look at us and they say, wow, you're so different than what you were a year ago or 6 months ago. What is it? And you say, oh, I go to church every now and then. I say, no, it must be something more. You've been with the master, haven't you? He's been the one that has changed your life. So that's where we are so far. If it's your first time visiting today, I sort of gave you the 3-minute update of where we are so that you don't feel left out. Today we're going to take a look at the spiritual discipline of thinking great thoughts. Okay. The spiritual discipline of thinking great thoughts. Now, imagine for a moment that I had a device in my hand that I could point at you, and as I point this device in my hand at you, the thoughts that you've had over the last 2 weeks would appear on these two screens. And I would go, Lorianne, Lorianne's thoughts would sort of flash, every thought that she's had over the last 2 weeks would flash, or Rodney Fortein, and Rodney's thoughts comes up, or even now, your thoughts right now, and I'm able to point at you, and your thoughts come up on the screen. I'm sure that's a comfortable thought for all of us. If you were to point that device at me, some of the thoughts that would be coming up on these screens, certainly one of them was that earlier this week, my wife said that she actually wants to take me on a date. On Friday, she packed a picnic basket and we went up Table Mountain and watched the sunset from Table Mountain. What a beautiful, beautiful setting. We've not been there together on the mountain for years. But that's certainly a thought that would come up in my mind, was one, her asking me on the date, which was very special, and the setting and being with her at that time. Another thought that would come up in my mind was that last Sunday, what we do on Sunday, sort of early evenings, we take the kids to the gym and we go and swim with them at the gym. I say swim, that means we're all in the water. I've been so proud of my kids. The older one, which is sitting there, I don't want to mention her name right now. She is just, she went for swimming lessons before, really struggled, didn't really get through it. And over the last 2 weeks, she's just become like a little mermaid in the water. I mean, it's just, I was so proud just watching her and saying, wow, look at that. It's just astonishing how she has grown. Chloe, the little one that's about 2.5, it was fascinating on Sunday that what she did was, and she was sitting there watching her sister go under the water, and then suddenly she just sat down in the water with her head under the water. And she just went, whoop. And she sat there and she just stayed there, that her butt went up, whoop.
as his fur like this, it comes.
And it was so sweet. Then she figured that as she stood on the shallowest step, she sat down, popped herself on her back, started floating, pushed herself away from the side, goes under the water, comes up, and she lies on her back floating in the middle of the pool. I was astonished. I was so proud of her. I was swimming, man. But certainly those are some thoughts that would be popping up on the screen here. But there will also be some other thoughts. What you would see is that last Sunday when I walked off from here behind those curtains, the thought that went through my mind was that really did not go well. It did not go the way I planned. It did not go the way I expected. That was not good. I'm glad it's over. If you page back one more week ago, the previous lesson, that Sunday, if you could see my thoughts in the middle of the sermon, what you would have seen is, Lord, save me, spare me from this hour, take me now. Can I not just say, you know what, I know this is not going well, why don't we just close shop? Go and pray with a neighbor, do something, read your Bible at home, but I think I'm out of here and I'm leaving, goodbye. That's what you would have seen. What you would have seen is during this week as I went to gym that I thought critically of certain people as I thought, boy, that's a real strange person. People wearing some strange clothing and having some strange hairdos and really just looking and saying, wow, that is odd. And that's what you would see on the screen. That's the reality. Obviously, that's what God sees. My question to you this morning is obviously as we were to look at your life, what would we see on the screen? Would we see thoughts of love? Of kindness? Would it be thoughts of frustration? Of anger? Of disappointment? Thoughts of impurity or lust? Or criticism? What thoughts would come up on the screen? And Proverbs 23, verse 7, in the King James Version, it says that as he thinks within his heart, so he is. As a man thinks within his heart, so he is. As you think within your heart, so you are. Meaning that what I say here, as I was standing here last Sunday, I'm not sure, not too many of you, most probably other than my wife, would have picked up that I was taking some strain. But what you could see didn't matter. What mattered was what was in my heart. Because as a man thinks within his heart, so he is. We can be all smiley in the fellowship and we can pretend, but as we are in our heart, the things that we think, the things that we feel inside of us, that is who we really are. That is who we will become. That is our destiny. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that life consists of what a man thinks about all day. Listen carefully to those words. Life consists of what a man thinks about all day. In other words, you will become what you think about all day. If you have faithless thoughts all day, you will become faithless. If you have critical thoughts in your heart all day, whether it's critical about others or critical about yourself, you will become a critical person. If you have loving thoughts in your heart all day, you will become a loving person. If you have faithful thoughts or upbuilding thoughts in your heart all day, then that's what you'll become. You'll become a faithful, upbuilding, loving person. As a man thinks within his heart, so he is. Our thoughts influence our lives in an incredible way, and I fight it and sense it every single day. You are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts will take you. That is the reality. The spirit in which you sit here today, you are here today because of where your thoughts have brought you from yesterday, and you will only be tomorrow where your thoughts will take you. Our thoughts influence our emotional life. It influences every fiber of who we are. Some time ago, a professor at the University of Tennessee did a study on what thinking, the relation between thinking, people's emotional state, and eventually their behavior. And what he did is he took two study groups, subject groups, and for both groups, he played 5 minutes of radio every day for several days. So I didn't mention the amount of time, but one assumes for a couple of weeks. The difference was that the one group listened to positive news every day, where the other group listened to negative news every day. In other words, these would be real things. It would be crime, it would be whatever is happening in the world. One group positive, one group negative. They listened to only 5 minutes, that's it. Once, 5 minutes every day. At the end of he compared the two groups and looked at what effect the negative news had on his subjects. And there were four common things that stood out in everyone that listened to the 5 minutes of negative news every day. One is that they were more depressed than what they were before. 5 minutes of news, eh? Out of a 24-hour day. 5 minutes of news every day, they were more depressed after that than what they were before. Two, they saw the world more negatively than what they did before. Three, they were less likely to help someone. Less likely to love their neighbor, less likely to reach out and give a helping hand than what they were before. And four, they thought that these same kind of things would happen to them. So if you measured them before these 5 minute news intervals and afterwards, those would be the differences. They would be more depressed, see the world as more negative, be less likely to help someone, and thought that these very things will happen to them. So what you think, they listened to it, it got into their mind, it influenced their emotional states. But the reality is, as your thoughts influence your emotional state, it also influences from there, your emotions influences your behavior. In the beginning of the year, I thought to myself, I need to get fit. Then, my emotional state changed, and I thought, I'm very excited about getting fit. Then my behavior changed, and I started doing a lot of exercises in order to get fit. So, first of all, my thoughts, as the Bible says, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. My emotions change, my behavior change. Now, that's a positive example. Then there's been times, maybe you can relate to this, maybe not, where I study my Bible in the morning. And as I'm studying my Bible, I think to myself, I think I'm tired. Within seconds, I feel incredibly tired. And within minutes, I'm back in bed. I thought I'm tired. I feel I'm tired. I need to act upon it because I am tired. And it influences my behavior. And obviously that then has consequences in our lives. You can think about it in this way. Think of it in terms of a train. Now, art is one of my strengths. Think of a train. This is the locomotive. Some of you are thinking critical thoughts. The train is the engine of your life. It's your thinking. But the train pulls a cart. And this cart is your emotional life. So as you're thinking, you're pulling the cart of emotions that follow. Behind that cart is your behavior. Behind that cart, let's just give it wheels. Behind that cart are consequences. So the engine of your life, the thing that steers your life, the locomotive of your life, is your thinking. And behind it, it pulls your emotions. And your emotions pull your behavior, and your behavior pulls consequences. So in other words, if you were to have faithful, and I'm not talking about positive thinking in terms of self-help here. Self-help is not help at all in my mind. Okay? I'm talking about godly thinking. If you have godly, faithful, positive in terms of what God can do in your life and what He is doing, thinking in your life, you will pull behind it godly, faithful, positive emotions. You will pull behind that godly, faithful, positive behavior, which will have godly, fruitful consequences. But, unfortunately, If you have ungodly, faithless, critical thinking, it will pull behind that ungodly, faithless, critical emotions, which will lead to ungodly, faithless, critical behavior, which will have devastating consequences. Where does it start? It starts with a spiritual discipline of thinking great thoughts, where we need to attack our thinking life, or our thought life, rather. It's been amazing for me over the last couple of years to, and I've only picked up on this lately, I think I've shared this before, up to the age of 33, I could eat whatever I want, whenever I want, how much I want. And it did not affect my shape or size. Lisa and I once went on a 10-day boat cruise that we won. And we had 4 meals a day. I ate dessert every meal. It was evening, it was a 6-course meal, buffet lunch, buffet breakfast. I ate 10 days like that. I did not pick up 1 milligram. Okay? What a wonderful time of my life that was. Then somehow at the 33-year mark, now my dad always told me that for him at the 30-year mark, things collapsed. Then I thought, well, I passed the 30-year mark, I'm safe, but then it came for me at 33, then some things started collapsing. But then I became more focused on what to eat. And I also realized that there's a whole world out there where people are a lot more focused on what they eat. Where it comes from. You go to Woolworths and you get organic food. These days, every weekend, they even have at Willowbridge here, they have an organic food market. Okay? Some years ago, 20, 30 years ago, if you took a peanut butter jar like this, and you looked at the ingredients, it would have one ingredient. Peanut butter. Today it's different. You even get 2 jars. There's a third one, but I didn't want to buy the third one. Who knows the difference between the green and the yellow? It's not smooth and chunky. The red is smooth. Sorry, Daphne? Sugar. Which one doesn't have sugar? The yellow one doesn't have sugar, people. No salt, no sugar. This is my kind of peanut butter. After 33. Now, instead of it just saying peanut butter, it says nutritional information per 100 grams. Energy. Gives you energy content. Protein content. Carbohydrate content. Total fat content. Total dietary fiber content. Sodium content. Vitamin E content. Something else that I can't read content. Magnesium content. It gives you absolutely everything. And the reason for that is that people want to know, what am I putting into my body? My body is important to me. I want to know what I'm putting inside of it. For me, I realized that, again, towards the end of last year, I was sort of letting slip on what I was putting into my body. I was putting a lot of good stuff in there. Good stuff for me. And I realized that I've become the weightiest that I've ever been. Let's call it that. Fat is such a negative word. I became the weightiest that I've ever been. And I had to make some serious decisions about changing my diet. And I made 2 decisions, and they've lasted so far for 6 weeks. I don't know if they're going to be eternal, but at least it's gotten me back to where I should be. One is, I'm on a sugar-free diet. In other words, I eat no sugar. Now, I used to eat about 2 tablespoons of sugar in my cereal. Okay? Now it's sugar-free cereal, which has been a massive adoption. I love desserts. I would go have dinner at a place, and then if there's sort of like a buffet dessert type of scenario, oh man, I would just grovel it. I love cheesecake, I love chocolate cake, I love chocolates, I love all those things. They are gone. Fruit juice, gone. Sodas, gone. Any fizzy drink, anything with sugar. The only thing that I drink currently for the last 6 weeks is water. Okay? So all sugar is gone. The other thing that's gone, there's anything that's white except white meat. So no potatoes, no white pastas, obviously no cake, no nothing. These things are gone. Now, let me tell you, eliminating that out of my diet over the last 6 weeks, suddenly people look to me as if they are monster eaters. Because suddenly I see white as evil. Gosh, look at all that white stuff that they're eating. Or, look at the sugar, there's another spoon, and another spoon, and another spoon. Or I saw someone drinking a milkshake the other day, and I thought, why doesn't he just drink a bowl of sugar? Okay. Now I'm only thinking that way because my mind is set that way because I'm saying to myself, you need to get into better shape physically. And I think the world is certainly moving into that trend that you need to watch what you eat. And we are so obsessed and mindful of what we eat and yet so haphazard about what we think. Oh no, don't eat that. Oh no, go for the... I mean, these are all black cats. Though. This is not even different brands. You get three black cats. Everything that says there's options. What am I going to eat? And you can see people, like Jane would do this. Jane is one of those ladies where watch everything. And let's read. This is not going to be good for me. Jane, I think, doesn't even take milk that has been under a fluorescent light. Okay? Because it influences, the fluorescent sort of infiltrates the milk. What about in your mind? I've often spoken to people that are a little bit overweight, and they all have a reason why. They'll say, beer. Or they'll say, sweets. Cake. You know what your issue is. You know what it is that you're eating that you shouldn't be eating. Shouldn't be the same that when someone is constantly negative, constantly faithless, constantly critical, they need to be able to tap their head and say, head, thought life. The problem is all up here, friends. It's in my mind. I think the wrong thoughts. I read the wrong things. I look at the wrong things. And that is why I am like this. Even for me this morning as I woke up, I didn't feel a top form. And I had to say to myself, as I went playing, I knocked my own head. And I said to myself, Hannah, it's all in your head. It is your thinking. If you want to be more Christ-like, you need to have Christ-like thinking. If you want to grow in your life, your love for God, you need to change your thinking and think great thoughts. If you want to grow in your love for people, you need to change your thinking and think great thoughts. If we want to practice the presence of God, we need to change our thinking. That's where it starts, and think great thoughts. Take a look in Philippians chapter 4. So if I say think great thoughts, what do I mean by that? What are the kind of things that we need to be thinking? What are the kind of things that's going to help us to grow in our love for God and in our love for people? What are the kind of things that's going to help us to think in a godly and a faithful manner? Luckily for us, the Bible makes it very clear right here in Philippians chapter 4. We can read there in verse 8. Paul says there, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says, what should we be thinking about? He says, if anything is true, think about that. So something is coming into your mind. And you have to ask yourself, is this true? I don't want something in my mind that is not truth. If it's not truth, I'm not going to allow it in my mind. Number two, is this noble? Now, is this program that I'm about to watch on TV, this article that I'm about to read, this magazine or website that I'm about to look at, is it ennobling? Is it going to help me to draw closer to God? Is it going to help me to live more in alignment with His purposes for my life? Is it ennobling? If not, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to read that. I don't want it in my mind. I don't want it in my head because I know that in my head is the locomotive. And if I get that stuff in my head, it will go backwards. Is it right? That's an easy one. We often say, I don't know if it's right or wrong. You know, in your heart of hearts, you know, this is not right. Is it right? Is it pure? The Greek word for pure is closely related to the word holy. What I'm about to think, is this a holy thought? If not, I need to say, you know what? I don't want this in my mind. Is it lovely? Is it part of God's beauty? Is it part of what God has made? Is it something that God would want me to think about? Is it lovely? If it's lovely, absolutely, take it in. If it's not, don't. Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Says, if it is, think about such things. Another translation says, ponder upon these things. So you need to let it soak into your mind. You need to let it become a part of your mind, your heart, your soul, of who you are, and that would be the train that would change your emotions, that would change your behavior, that would change the consequences of your life. So in a sense, you could say that I'm going to draw a brain for you. I heard Let's say, just use your imagination. Let's say that this does someone want to come up here and do it? This is your brain with the little wirings and everything that's happening there in your brain. Now, what you need to have in front of your brain, the Bible gives us here, is a filter. And that filter, we learn, has in it whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is the filter. This is the brain. Issues in life are coming at you. What happens if the thought that you are about to think doesn't approve of it? What should you do? In Corinthians, I think it's 1st or 2nd, can't remember, chapter 5, verse 10, should come up on the screen. It says, we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Captive. Why captive? These are slippery suckers. Okay? You need to take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. How do you make them obedient? I want you to think, if it doesn't pass the filter test, think rope. You need to starve that thought. You need to choke the thought. You need to kill the thought. You need to say, return to sender. So now, every time the thought comes into your mind, I say, okay, well, whatever the thought is, let's say it's a thought about God. God is so cruel. Is it true? Well, it's not. Well, it seems true. Look at the chaos. Is this noble? Is this ennobling me? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? No. So I think rope. I think choke. I think cure. I think return to sender. What about thoughts about yourself, especially for the ladies? What about if you're thinking something about yourself? Oh, I don't look good. Oh, people see me as overweight. They see me as underweight. They see me as ugly. They see me as confused. They see me as incapable. They see me as I'm a terrible wife. They see me as I'm a terrible parent. They see me as, for anything that you could possibly think of that's negative. People see me that way. Is it true? Oh, the scripture says it's not, but it feels so true. Is it ennobling? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Does it make you feel lovely thinking that? I'm not saying by any means, and I don't want to be hard on us, but I'm saying it's not helpful. Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? No, it's not. Think rope. Think choke. Think kill. Think return to sender. What about thoughts about others? I'm sure that since we have entered those doors this morning, all of us in here has had a thought about someone else in this room. Where you looked at someone, look at that, that looks like. I think it's their marriage. Look at what they're wearing. Look, can you see they're with so-and-so again? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? If not, then throw it out. What about my future? I'm so afraid of my future, I do not know what it holds. These thoughts, is it true? Is it noble? Is it pure? Is it right? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? What about the challenges that I'm facing? I just don't know if I can deal with them. I feel so overwhelmed by where I am in life. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? If not, what do we do? Choke it. Starve it. Kill it. Return to sender. What if it passes the test? What do we do? Feed it. The thoughts that I'm having about God, the thoughts that I'm having about myself, and I'm not talking about prideful thoughts about yourself, but the thoughts that I'm having about myself, the thoughts that I'm having about others, the thoughts that I'm having about my future, the thoughts that I'm having about the challenges that's coming my way. If it's positive thoughts, if it's faithful thoughts, it's godly thoughts, it's loving thoughts, feed it. How do we feed it? We can feed it with the Scriptures. Getting more in the Scriptures and our mind connected to those thoughts. Charles Spurgeon, who is known as the Prince of Preachers, used to say to his students, "Let us, dear brethren, get saturated with the gospel." The idea that he communicated to his students, he said that you need to take the gospel, you need to take the Bible, and you need to soak in it, you need to bathe in it, you need to let it infiltrate you. All those scriptures that are connected to what is faith, and what is love, and what is kindness, and what is gentleness, and what is self-control, and all those great things, you need to soak in it. It needs to become a part of you. In Romans 12 verse 2 in the Message translation, it says, "If you do that, if you fix your attention on God, you will be changed from the inside out." If you fix your attention on God, you fix your thoughts on God, your attention, your mind, your soaking in the Scriptures on God, it will change you from the inside, it will change your emotions, it will change your behavior, it will change your consequences. If you feed it and you focus it on God, you will grow in your love for God. If you think great thoughts, you will grow in your love for people. If you think great thoughts, godly thoughts, spiritual thoughts, biblical thoughts, you will be more like Christ. And if you think great thoughts, you will be able to practice the presence of God. Thank you very much. Amen.